Hello and welcome to this iScience podcast. I'm Josh Hadjigo and today I'm going to be talking to the founder of Guru Magazine. It may sound like a publication for people who want to learn how to become Indian spiritual leaders, but in fact it's a pretty snazzy digital science magazine. Guru was founded about 18 months ago and since then it's been publishing quarterly doses of neatly designed science lifestyle articles. So I'm going to catch up today with Dr. Stuart Faramond, the founder and editor of Guru, to find out what this science lifestyle business is all about and how excited we should be about it. So, yeah, great to have you with us, Stu. How are you doing today?
Yeah, doing well, thank you.
Okay, well, I wondered if you could, first of all, just take us back to when you first set Guru up. What was your reason for wanting to set it up? What made you do it? And you came up with this concept of a science lifestyle magazine. So can you just explain to us what does that mean? What is science lifestyle?
Yeah, we set up the magazine about 18 months ago now. And it was born out of probably my own frustration in that I couldn't find something that I wanted to read. I was basically wandering around a well-known newsagent's looking for something to read relating to science. I'm trained as a medical doctor, and so I'm pretty au fait with science and medical writing. And when I went in there, I was looking for different magazines. I was greeted by a variety of magazines that were scientific and a variety of magazines that were very loosely scientific. And there was nothing that I could find that was that I wanted to enjoy reading. So for example, the scientific magazines were kind of dry, information-based, not very entertaining, and the other magazines that had a science slant on them were generally educational, and to be honest, I find them a bit patronising to read. And so I thought, there's nothing there, and this little thought in my head started of, well, why don't you make something? And time went by, and I threw the idea around and met with a couple of people, like-minded people, and said, I've got this idea, I want to produce a magazine that presents science to just the everyday person. It's not patronizing, it doesn't dumb down the facts, but it's fun, it's accessible. And from that, Guru was born.
Yeah, and you came up with this name Guru, which, when I first heard it, sounded a bit, I don't know, it's a great name, it's very snappy, but it's got these connotations of being very informed and kind of being a leader. What made you choose that name? And you call your writers gurus, don't you? What made you come up with that?
I was desperate to find a name that didn't have science in it.
Right.
But it still embodied something that meant learning or knowledge or expertise. And Guru seemed to be a generic term. It's a nice kind of small term. It's understood in a variety of languages. And it sort of means teaching, learned one. So that's the reason behind it. We call our regular writers gurus, basically because it's a crowdsourced idea. The idea is to welcome anybody who's interested in writing, members of the public, scientists, science writers, to get involved and to give it a sense of ownership. We wanted to give people that feeling that they were part of it, that they were part of the team, even though they're based in different parts of the country and different parts of the world. And so we thought it'd be nice to give them a name, call them gurus, give them little titles to go with it based on the thing that they're interested in. So we have a mind guru, somebody who's specialised in the psychology side of things, a food guru who looks at the nutrition things, a fitness guru with a background in personal training. It's just a bit of fun, a bit of fun, really.
Brilliant. And can you tell us, just briefly, like, you've been publishing for about 18 months. Can you just give us maybe your favourite article or a flavour of what's been really good in the magazine?
Yes, we managed to get an interview with the godfather of skepticism, James Randi, and anybody who's familiar with the skepticism movement will know who he is. We've a variety of interviews with the movers and shakers in the science world. We've I think just covered a variety and a breadth of topics. The ones I really like are the things like do-it-yourself at home, molecular gastronomy, and the really fun ones, the top 10 lists of things, where we'll throw in a bit of science in there as well. For example, last Halloween we did a top 10 list of scary movies you've really got to see, and then threw in some science as to, if you put all the phobias together, what would be the ultimate scary movie, and look at the psychology of whether men or women get more scared in a scary movie or not.
Yeah. So it's just working science in really these things. Yeah.
Also, the human interest stories, they're fascinating. In last issue, we had an article about, well, I say human interest, about turtles. It tells a story of a female research scientist working from a boat who was satellite tracking turtles, and one of the turtles went off path and ended up in Cuba, and they followed up and found out that there was an illegal turtle harvesting trade going on in Cuba.
Oh, really?
And one person actually went down there, found the turtle, and spoke to the fisherman there and explained the importance that these turtles are extremely endangered species, and that they should consider that when they're doing their fishing. And actually had an effect on those fishermen there. And it's nice to have those kind of stories and hear about individuals who are struggling with medical conditions, and explain actually there is hope for them in the future.
Yeah, oh, that's great. That's a great story about the turtle. Really fascinating. So everything's been going well with Guru. You've also got a really great design team. I think that the magazine looks really good. So everything's been going well. But then you had some really exciting news on the 28th of September, which you announced on that date this year. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we were awarded a Wellcome Trust grant. We put forward a proposal to develop an app, a mobile application. Quite a lot of our readers have said it's a bit of a pain having to go onto the website to download the magazine. We do it in a variety of formats, a colour PDF-based format, which is designed specifically for iPads. We design it so that the text and the resolution makes for easy reading on it, and embed it with bookmarks and links, so that if there's something that you're interested in, you can just tap on the text and it'll take you to some extra reading or the articles behind the research that's being discussed in the piece, and also just simple things like linking between articles so you can jump between the various articles, just to give it that interactivity. Yeah. And also Kindle and e-reader versions we've published as well. People said to us, wouldn't it be nice if you had an application so that you can just go onto the Apple Newsstand or Google Play, and then you can automatically have the issues put onto your mobile reading device, whatever it is, if you're an Apple fan or not. And we looked into it, and it's expensive, very expensive. Typical price to get a newsstand application at the moment, we were quoted from a variety of places, about £10,000. And we are completely self-funded, get a nominal amount of money through bits of advertising. Thankfully, our overheads are low. And thanks to all the contributions of our writers and designers, we're able to do it on a shoestring, but there's no way we could get to that amount of money. Yeah. So we put in a proposal to the Wellcome Trust, and they were kind enough to give us a grant of £12,000 and give us support over the next 12 months. So having that money, we've managed to negotiate a very good deal as a charity rate, so that we don't have to spend all that money on the app. So we've got a little bit of money just to support the promotion of the magazine. That's something else that the Wellcome Trust have asked us to do, to raise the profile, build up the audience of Guru, and to demonstrate that Guru has a positive effect on people who read it. Our target demographic are young adults, 25 to 34 age range, specifically non-scientifically trained, non-academics, and male and female equally. And to a large part, we've achieved that already, but we want to go to the next stage to increase our readership further. And the Wellcome Trust see that, and they want to help us do that.
Yeah, it's great. And they've put some stipulations on that money as well. So you've been running some kind of question and answer sessions over Twitter as well, haven't you? Has that been going well?
Every Friday we run an Ask a Guru session. So Friday on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or you can email them. Random anything, questions, life, fitness, body, space, science, whatever it is. People can send us their questions, and we will put it to our team of writers to see who can come up with the best answer. Failing that, we will try and get hold of an expert in the field who can answer that question. So questions like, let's have a think. Is there going to be life on Mars? Had some recent ones. Why do we yawn? Is it really infectious? Why do my fingers go wrinkly when I'm in the bath? Just any sort of thing that comes to people. I think we all know those kind of questions that you're sitting in the bath or something and you think, why is that? So that's the idea. People pitch them to us, we answer them. There's also other things that we, as I've already alluded to, we need a cohort of people, aiming for about 100 people who are prepared to, over the next 12 months, read the magazine and complete three fairly short surveys, one now, one in 6 months, and one at the end, looking at people's attitudes towards science. And we'll use that information to assess how successful it's been. But that's something that we need to do for the Wellcome Trust funding, and something that we're really keen to get more people involved in. And as part of that, being on that readership panel, we are going to offer competitions and prizes and give those people an opportunity to give us direct feedback on how they'd like to see and shape the magazine.
Yeah. So you're very, very forward-looking at the moment, which is awesome. But I just wanted to ask about sort of the future. Obviously, you're thinking about how to take things forward. Is it in the long term, do you see this becoming something that people might pay for? Because obviously at the moment, it's crowdsourced and different people are contributing bits and pieces and stuff. Is it sustainable? So in 5 years, what will it look like, do you think?
Over the next 12 months, we have been tasked to make the magazine financially sustainable. I would dearly love to be able to pay our contributors something, and at the moment, we're not in a position to be able to do that. So that is definitely something that is on the cards. Would we charge for the magazine? At the moment, our ethos is to make the magazine as accessible as possible. So we've gone down the free route. We've looked at different monetization strategies. Obviously, selling the magazine is one way of doing it. At the moment, we're looking at alternatives. So advertising, further sponsorship, offering people, organisations, individuals, or even companies, although we would be prudent about what kind of companies we would invite to maybe sponsor an issue, sponsor a series of issues, also through the selling of merchandise, perhaps offering additional guru-related products. We've got a little store which has Guru t-shirts and mugs and iPad cases and things like that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I might have to get one of those. Sounds brilliant. I want a Guru mug. That sounds flipping brilliant.
I got one for my birthday. It's very cool.
Surely you get those free, though. I mean,
because we don't produce them, they come from a company in America. So we would get a small percentage of the sales. But unfortunately, although we get a discounted rate if we buy them, we still have to pay for them and get them posted across. Guru pin badges, they're very good.
Oh gosh, I'm gonna go and Google that right away.
Make yourself a guru.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a Blue Peter badge, but
yeah,
but more Peter cool.
You're awarded a Guru Blue Peter badge.
Yeah. So it's brilliant. It's been brilliant to hear about Guru. I'm gonna go and when's your next issue out, Stuart?
It's bi-monthly.
Yeah.
We do it on the first weekday of alternate months. The next one will be on the 3rd of December, and it will be our first issue that will be on the app. The app will be released in the next couple of months. You'll find it on newsstand and in Google Play. You'll be able to access all the previous issues, and it will be issue 9 that will be coming out on the 3rd of December.
Brilliant. So we'll look forward to that. And finally, just to ask, because I should make the confession that I've written for you guys myself, and it was great to have the chance to do that. And so, just to finally ask, if writers are listening to this and thinking, "Wow, I wanna write about science and lifestyle, that would be great." How can they get in touch with you? Can you give us some contact details so they can email you or something?
Yeah, easiest way is to go to the website gurumagazine.org, gurumagazine all one word .org. And you'll find a contact us tab at the top. I think it's something like Become a Guru. Go on there and there's a contact form and you can get in touch with us that way. Or you can just email directly info@gurumagazine.org. And we will do our best to get back to you as soon as possible. Very keen for people who want to design, people who want to edit, or people with a specific speciality. To get in touch, and we will, let them get involved.
That's fantastic. Stuart Faramond, thank you very much for joining us from a noisy cafe in Wiltshire. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Apologies for the noise.
Thanks very much.